So we're going to record Rosemary Lester, and this is May 1st, 2015, at Bethel Horizons. And why don't you start with telling us how, when you started at Prairie, and then you could go through those questions.
Oh, yeah.
At the bottom there.
Okay. Well, when I started Prairie, that's a long, long time ago.
Good, that's what we want.
I mean, I came from Germany. Theoretically, I was a Lutheran. My parents never went to church, but they did send me to kindergarten, and I was confirmed. And when I was confirmed, I was very lucky to have had a very broad-minded Lutheran pastor in Berlin, and this was already during the Nazi time. And so when it came time to be confirmed, I was very hesitant, and I was able to talk with him about it and tell him that I really didn't feel honest. I knew all the stuff you had to recite and so forth, but I just didn't quite feel honest about the whole thing. And he was great enough to say, look, if you don't feel honest about it, if you don't want to do it, don't do it. And I finally went ahead because I'm an only child of an only child. And the family, the three sisters of my mother and their husbands and my grandparents were the only family I had. And none of them had children. Only my mother had me. And everything was prepared for the big feast and celebration of my confirmation. And so I finally did. But when the time came in church, I walked down the aisle in the church crying. I just, you know, honesty and never lying was a very important part of my upbringing. And this really hurt me to have to do that, I consented to do that. So anyway, after that, I didn't go to church anymore after I was concerned, until I finally, some years later, got married and had a child and went to the United States. And there I had some lovely neighbors who were Lutheran, and that was also a military family, and she took me along to the Lutheran Church, and this was in California, and I know that the Missouri Synod has the reputation of...
What year is this about?
Well, this was about, that was before my, I got married in 45, I had my two kids in 46 and 47, no, 40. Well, my daughter was born in 49, and my son was born in 50. So during that time, we lived in a very nice California neighborhood, and I was good friends with a very devout but also progressive woman who was married. And ultimately, both of us got divorced from our military husbands. There was no other way but to do that. And so I went with her to her Lutheran church, and this was a Missouri Synod church. But the thing that made this lively and acceptable for me was the personality of the pastor. He could have been a Unitarian. He was just a freewheeling kind of person. And then finally I went to, in the course of my life, I finally went to live in South Dakota, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and started to teach at, I had been going to, in the evening to continue my education that had been quite extensive in Germany, but I finally taught. I was able to begin a class, to begin teaching a class in German, a German class at Augustana College. Augustana was a Lutheran college, and which turned out to be great. But at the same time, Sioux Falls was really dominated by a big Lutheran church and a Catholic church and some Norwegians. And so I wound up with the Lutherans, and I just couldn't really get warm with them. But then I got to know the more progressive, almost left wing of the theology department at the college where I taught. And in order to get your a degree at that college, you had to have 2 semesters of theology. And so I started to read. There was a big book about religion in America. And I found in this book the Unitarians. And I started reading about the Unitarians, and I kept thinking, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. This is my kind of church. I could live with this universe, with this religion. And so I, for my seminar paper, I decided to find out whether there were any Unitarians in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And lo and behold, there were 20 of the interesting misfits of the town. And I joined them, and I gave them a wonderful talk about their history. And that was my entry into the world of Unitarianism.
You hadn't heard of it before then?
No, I had no idea about them. And so this was really fascinating. And so I joined them, you know, sort of pro forma, and did lectures and talks for them. And it was a great bunch. I mean, some of them were really goofy, but that's fine, you know. We are that way, you know. So anyway, ultimately, I decided to be honest about it and disjoin myself from the Lutherans and become a Unitarian in this little group. And then shortly after that, I finally got to go to grad school in Madison. The left wing of the Lutheran faculty, Lutheran theology faculty, sort of persuaded me. They said, look, you should go to Madison. That's a very progressive school. And at that time, we even had the reputation of being red, which was true. We had a whole bunch very socialist, and even one communist faculty member here.
So with First Society being the big guy on the block, how did you end up at Prairie?
I don't know who, but somebody said that should be the one for me. They said this is your kind of style. And I think I went to First Society once, and James Reeb didn't exist at that point. And I came to Madison in 1969. And so after one visit with Max Gabler and so forth, which was nice, but it was huge and kind of impersonal. And then somebody told me, you should really go to Priory. That's your kind of thing. And I did, and it was. So that's how I wound up in Prairie. And fairly soon, I got acquainted with Ruth and George, and we started to play music together. I mean, I should say.
Fairly early, yeah.
And I remember one gig I had with them at First Society, and we did a lot of Yiddish music, because George and I, me being German and he being knowing Yiddish, we always exchanged languages and so forth. Yeah, and so that was kind of exciting for me. And we were a trio, and we were called the Martin Buber Trio, I, Thou, and It. And George kindly decided he was going to be the It. And so we did this little concert, and people really liked us.
So did you play the guitar?
At that time, I think I played if I remember right, I played the guitar, yeah.
Not the accordion.
No. I think that's the way it was. And then somewhat later in the 70s, in the early 70s, we played at a lesbian wedding. And then there, I think I played the accordion. and we played for them, and it was wonderful. So doing music in our church was early on a very important thing for me.
And then you deserted us and went back to Germany for your PhD.
Yeah, not quite right away. I mean, I still spent some time before going of sitting in with the prairie chicken pluckers. Mm-hmm. Remember the chicken pluckers? And of course, there aren't a lot of accordion players with them, but I can. Yeah, I'm very flexible, and so I played with them.
So tell who all the people were in the prairie chicken pluckers.
Oh, God.
Pluckers.
They
can
were.
Remember?
I can't remember names. I'm so old.
I'm with
yeah.
You.
Well, there was Chuck Young, of course.
And he played.
He played guitar. And there was the one who went, Bob Lawrence.
Okay.
And then the one he married, then the one who went to, who was adopted by some people in California, and she inherited quite a bit of money from them. And so Barbara James, there you go, thank you. Barbara James. And then
she sang or played the guitar. Okay.
And then
there was this mixture, I think
Bob Young also played the fiddle, but then there was also this mixture that the divorce of Barbara James married the former husband of Terry Prudlow.
Right.
And so there was this was a time of prairie that was great fun. I mean, people were mixing up with each other, and they were cheating each other's spouses and whatnot. It was a very wild and woolly kind of congregation. I never got into that, but I enjoyed watching it.
Moving soap opera.
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it. It was a Unitarian soap opera, and it was great fun. I mean, I was sort of on the fringes, friends with everybody, and because, I played sometimes with this group and sometimes with the other. And then they all sort of split apart, and the Lawrences went to California, and et cetera. And much later, Bob Young once visited me in the house I still live in. Some summer he showed up, and it was really nice, and he brought me up to date. And there were some other interesting divorces or split ups, and I don't remember all the names, but that's what it was, and I greatly enjoyed it. And of course, I am an only child of an only child, and no siblings. I have absolutely no siblings of any sort, and so friendships and people are very important to me, because I don't like to be lonely. I've always wished for some sort of a brother or something in my life, but my mom couldn't have any but me, because she, in those days, she had me when she was over 30, and that was very early, and so forth. So anyway, the friendships at Prairie were always very important. And then I went to Germany for 12 years to work on my dissertation, because I finally got into the doctoral program, and my kids were grown and lived elsewhere. Now, I mean, for a while they lived in Madison also, but my son took off on some adventurous way of living. And Maggie lived with me for quite some time, but then she got married, and she stayed married until she was about 26, and then she got divorced. And and then I came back in the early 80s, no, not in the early 80s, I came back a year before the wall opened up in Berlin. So I was in Germany for 12 years, exactly. I left in 77 and got a fellowship, and then it turned out Frankfurt and the library, that was something like the Deutsche Bibliothek, something like the Library of Congress, and so I settled into Frankfurt with in a little apartment, and got a teaching job with University of Maryland, part-time teaching job, and so I taught half the time. Frankfurt was full of Americans stationed there. This was still the occupation time. And I got into the educational system of the Army, which was very good because then I also had some financial benefits, you know, buying in the PX and the commissary. And so I was able to do that. And then when I was teaching, of course, I got paid. And that was okay then.
Now, did you keep in touch with some prairie people?
I had some friends, but I mean, you know, it's far away.
Ah, 12 years and
yeah.
Far away.
And I tried at one point to get into a German Unitarian group. They did have one connected partly to the Army, but it wasn't the same. It was just not the same kind of spirit that prairie was. And so I always came home at Christmas time. I took leave and came home. And sometimes I came home in the summer too. But mostly I came at Christmas time to visit with my kids and then visit with my prairie friends. And they were always there. That was great to see them again. But I ultimately spent 12 years with these visits here every year, 12 years in Frankfurt. And so I've always said my life sort of went along in parts of 12 years of Nazi Germany, that the 1,000-year Reich of the Hitler lasted exactly 12 years. And I grew up during that time. I went to high school. Then 12 years of being in Germany, working on my dissertation. And then the next 12 years, what did I do? Yeah, I came back got to teach at the university, you know. So it's been 12. So it's been a long time, you know. Now I'm quite old and I can't count the many years that I spent away anymore. So that was it. But in the meantime, when I came back from Germany, then I really got, I think, more really active at Prairie. And I've never had these long-term jobs, but I was an idea person. When I came back, early 80s, I got together with Dolita. I asked her if she would be interested in doing this, and we somehow talked about the thing that is called a cabaret in Europe and in Germany, and I said, I would like to do a cabaret, and would you like to be in on this? And of course Dolita did. So we did a cabaret and a variety show, wonderful, they were good. And so we did that several years. And then there was another, I did some individual programs and I can't remember them all. But I did one thing also that had a long-term effect. I always hated that carpet along the walls in our sanctuary. And so one day I said, look, let's get pictures on there. And I got the pictures with the young people to do. That was the second time, to do their children's pictures on there. And the first people I got to hang pictures there were Galen and Rose Smith, because they had untold mountains of artwork. And so I talked with them. And so the first show, I think they considered to letting me hang up, you know, the whole role of that. And then the second one were the kids with their pictures. Then at one point I did my own pictures. And so now that has been a steady decoration, which I think is good because it looked ugly. It looked ugly before. For me, it was always a carpet along the wall, you know. Uh-huh. So that was one of my things. And then, you know, I did something together with you know, the one who went to Seattle with some pictures. I can't remember the details. Nikki. And I forgot but we did some nice stuff. And so occasionally I was able once to do a program of my research on on blacks in German culture or in any culture, and I had a lot of pictures and so forth. So on and off, I did things like that.
Of course, you've sung in the choir.
I sung in the choir.
Especially in the spring
In the
and fall.
Summer when it was warm, right? Yeah, I did sing in the choir, and I did play on and off quite a bit. You know, often with Ruth, and then sometimes I played even the piano and so forth. And so I've done, you know, sporadic things and things. And it's been very, very important that they had me, that I was part of. I mean, they took me in the caring committee, because I was beginning to need some help. You know, 4 years ago when I had this very bad fracture, and then this last year, another fracture.
So prayer has provided a lot of support.
Prairie provided a lot of support for me, and I've considered it for a long time, really, as my extended family. Because I knew when there was something really going wrong with me, and as I get older and older, you know, my bones don't stay the same, and things go wrong. And there was always somebody in the caring committee who sort of watched out for me and helped a lot. And in fact, Catherine Converse now has a lot of this. Paperwork, you know, for when I die, because my kids was my I have a son and a daughter, but they are a bit difficult, and I can't really rely on them very much. My son with love and emotional stuff, yes, but he has a son who is in dire straits, and so now he has to take care of his son all the time.
Now, you did some music things with Dolita, right? And
Dolita, always.
Ruth.
Yeah, the three of us.
And then now both, and now you and Ruth.
And just Ruth and I.
Right, and so you were the...
We are the Continental Drifters.
Yeah.
And Ruth invented that name. Dolita invented that name.
Right.
And I know one of the most moving and important things that happened. I mean, Dolita was a really dear friend of mine anyway, personally. And so at one time, Ruth called me on a Friday, I think, and said, hey, can you bring your guitar? I was playing guitar then. Can you bring your guitar and come to the hospital? That was Saturday morning. And I said, what's happening? Well, Dolita is in the hospital and she is almost in a coma. And it went so fast, you know. We knew, we played in many places, the three of us, and Dolita was always considered our leader. But all this happened very quickly, that all of a sudden, she lost it.
And then you and Ruth picked it up. Now, do you have a new name for this?
No. Ruth and I mean, I came get on the car, and we said when... On that Saturday, Dolita was in a coma already, and we both played her favorite songs. I with the guitar, and she with the accordion. I mean, with the
recorder.
And the doctor said, go right ahead and play. People who are dying do hear. They hear that. And it was so, I mean, we were so sad, and yet it was such a powerful thing, the only thing we could do for her. And we sat there for a long time and we played all of her favorite songs and our favorite songs. And she lay there and I think she heard us, you know. And then fortunately her son Paul got a plane and was able to come when she was still alive. And that was one of the most moving and powerful things I think we did. And so we kept the name Continental Drifters. And sometimes, of course, we get somebody to sing with us, or Heidi can play with us and so forth. Yeah. So, and I think one of my best programs was a year or two ago when I did this Christmas thing, this international Christmas program. And that was one that you did not get on tape for some reason or other. It didn't work. But it was one where I had so much feedback from young people and old people and everybody. They just loved it. You know, I picked out all of the people with foreign background to talk about or play music or sing about their own home countries. And that was really, I must say, was really, I think, my best program. And because I loved it, the way the people really went with it. And it was so, so sad that we couldn't get that on tape. I don't know what went wrong there. But
probably whoever was in charge didn't turn on the computer.
Well, yeah, I don't know. It was very sad.
Well, this has been wonderful. Do you have any last words you want to...
Well, not really. I mean, I'm so old, I have so much to talk about. When you get to be my age, there's a lot of stuff, you know.
Yeah, well,
a lot of living.
You've got a lot of those, you know, those musical memories all the way through that you give
all the way
to
through
us,
yeah,
that we wouldn't probably get any other way, so
yeah,
that's very good. This
yeah
has been wonderful.
Okay,
really,
yeah,
really useful, I think.
I'll and see then, if there's anything I want to write tomorrow, but
yeah,
I think this is probably enough.
Yeah, and like I say, you could take one tomorrow, take one thing,
yeah,
like maybe write up that the day that Deleted died.
Oh,
write up like the different musical groups over the years. Something like that, I think, would be very valuable.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
This is great. Thank you very much.
Okay. I'm glad I got that off my chest.
Yes. I'm glad to have snagged.